Welcome everyone to the MLB podcast on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. Back in the saddle here for another episode of the MLB podcast on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. Opening weekend in the books and a lot to take away from it. We'll dig into that here in a minute. But joining me here to help me break everything down on the diamond, I got my guy here with me. It's Griffin Warner. Griffin, what's going on, my man? How you doing this Sunday evening?
Oh, man, I'm really looking forward to, coming off the college basketball podcast with AJ, you know, for pregame, it's sad to see college basketball kind of wrapping up. It's been a long year of literally trying to figure out what teams players play for. But that's slowing, and we're into almost everyday baseball until, well, we basically are until October. So besides that one little kind of dark day week or so in mid-July, I'm pumped. I'm ready for it. Baseball, honestly, as much as I love the other sports, my favorite one to bet is baseball. I think it's the biggest rush. What used to be for 4 hours at a time now is probably 2.5, which is probably better for my heart and medications that I'm hopefully going to avoid at some point. But I'm pumped for it, and it's going to be a great season.
Yeah, definitely excited for the baseball season. Just getting our feet wet with opening weekend in the books here. Let's recap our picks here. From our first episode of the season here, Griffin, we went 1-1, no skin off our back. I know you had a plus money odds with the Toronto Blue Jays, so a little bit short there. But I did have the Diamondbacks -1.5 with Merrill Kelly against the Colorado Rockies. That one was a sweat-free winner here. So no skin off of our backs. You're going 1-1. And again, I don't know about you, Griffin, but I think that I take the first couple of weeks here just to kind of gather some data points and then just see how these teams are doing and really attack it. You know, we kind of get into the latter part of April. I just feel like we're still learning a lot about, you know, these teams and how their everyday lineups are going to look. And some of these pitchers that were great last season may not be getting off to the hottest start. And then there's pitchers last season that didn't look so great and they may get off to a good start here. So just kind of leads us into this weekend here. Quickly, we can talk about it before we do get into the Monday card in the MLB here. I know you and I were talking offline a little bit. What was your biggest surprise, at least for the first 3 to 4 games here for some of these teams?
I mean, I hate to steal your hometown thunder, but two Texas boys talking right now. But Houston starting 0-4. I think that there was some hype potentially coming in on the Yankees per usual, like it always is. But honestly, that's been one of the best fades in Major League Baseball for years was the Yankees. They've been gigantic favorites literally ever since they had that huge run the first half of maybe two seasons ago. But 4 straight wins, all pretty tight games that could have gone either way. And I think that, I mean, it says one thing to just blow out your competition if you're facing the Rockies. But if you're winning tight games, I feel like that is a really big way to build confidence quickly. As you said, we're still learning lineups, bullpens, as are these teams, I think, at this point. But not sure you could start any better if you're the Yankees on the road with a sweep in Houston. And it makes me wonder, maybe those Houston home woes, usually you say road woes about teams, but maybe home woes are still a thing.
It's crazy because, again, we talked about it in the first episode that we did for the season. That the home bowls last year for the Astros were a real thing. And it seems like it's carried over here this season where they get swept at home by the Yankees. And the Astros have been a team that have pretty much owned the Yankees, at least in postseason play. But the Astros here just, again, and we were talking about, they had in the first 3 games of the series, they had the lead, a multi-run lead, I should say, in those first 3 games for only the bullpen to come in and just give it back to the Yankees, but give a lot of credit to the Yankees. You know, I'm not going to sit here and be a homer guy about it, but you got to give them credit for the way they were able to fight back. And I think we talked about that. Juan Soto is going to pay huge dividends for this Yankees team. But I think for me as well, I agree with you. I think the Astros starting 0-4 were the biggest surprise, at least for this weekend, because you take a look at other teams, Griffin, that started 0-4, maybe expected. The Mets, okay, at least the winless teams, right? The Mets, the Marlins, and the White Sox. And there are the Astros in that category there as well. So hopefully better days ahead for the Houston Astros as they will continue to stay home here. Oh, boy. Guess against your Toronto Blue Jays here as they start their next homestand here. So be interesting week here, at least in Houston. I know you and I will be going back and forth about the Blue Jays and the Astros for this week. Anything else you want to mention before we get into the Monday night card?
I mean, it feels like normal, I think, normal Major League Baseball season where bad teams are not priced like they're as bad as you think they will potentially be in April, or at least in the beginning, because we're still in March technically, recording this Sunday, March 31st, which might mean there's some value potentially fading the really bad teams. Unfortunately, that's going to dry up quickly because I would expect the Rockies, the Athletics, the White Sox even, I think those numbers are going to be gigantic, even in a really bad division like the AL Central. So we're soon going to have a 15-game schedule if everyone's playing. And then for me, it's going to be like four games off of it because I'm usually the short-priced favorite. So that's usually someone that people don't really like at home. And underdogs, and I've tried my best. I'm gonna try my best. I'll say it to you, Munaf. I really want to stay as far away from the Oakland Athletics as much as I can this year.
Oh yeah, we are definitely gonna have to, because again, what they drop 3 out of 4 to start the season here for,
which might be like a really good result for them, despite starting the season at home. You know,
and I mentioned this when we did our first pod. Like when you have Paul Blackburn on the mound, that's the day you want to back him. And lo and behold, here on a Sunday afternoon, he did get the start for the Oakland A's, and they were able to pull out the victory where the Oakland A's are. So something definitely to keep in mind because he had a really good outing for the A's. Seven shutout innings, in fact. He only allowed three hits to the Cleveland Guardians, but they do at least tally their first win of the season. Who would have thought here that we were sitting on Sunday night saying the Oakland A's got their first victory over, at least they got their first victory before the Astros get their first victory of the season.
Yep.
River, let's get into it, my man. Monday, it's going to start off with some afternoon baseball to get us through the working day here. The first game on the schedule, it's going to be a 2:10 Eastern start. We got the Atlanta Braves. They are headed to Chicago Southside to take on the White Sox. Charlie Morton gets a start here for the Atlanta Braves. Will be Chris Flexen on the mound for the Chicago White Sox. Currently, as it stands, the Braves are a -218 favorite, +180 on the money line for the Chicago White Sox. Total is set at 9 with a little bit of juice towards the under, -1.5, -130 on the run line for the Atlanta Braves, and +1.5, +110 for the Chicago White Sox here, Griffin. What are we thinking about the Braves and the White Sox here?
This is a perfect situation for just really bad teams that are unfortunately facing really good ones. Weather is not looking great in Chicago, so maybe that does level the playing field a little bit. I wonder if they even get this game in, honestly. But probably not too many times Atlanta's planning to go to Chicago, at least for the White Sox version. I'm sure this is probably the only series. So maybe they do fight to get it in. Charlie Morton, who we thought was retiring 3 years ago, I think the Braves forced him out of retirement, and he's still sticking around. Maybe he can't resist the paycheck. I'm sure I wouldn't be able to either. But, I mean, the Braves I thought were a pretty good performance in Philadelphia to start the season. Tough to start the year with two straight road series, but I guess if you're going to have to start it with anyone, maybe one of the worst teams in baseball might be the way to do it. Chris Flexen's had some great numbers, great outings in his career at times, and really just, I think, good stretches, because ultimately he reverts to the mean. Fly ball pitcher, doesn't miss a lot of bats. That's a very scary combination for an Atlanta lineup. I mean, I don't love the weather here, but that does sometimes impact the grip of baseballs and might help hitters a little bit more than you'd think. Certainly doesn't help the ball fly. But I think Chris Flexen is going to have to loosen up those neck muscles, because they're going to be hitting the ball hard right by his head. So I'll take over 9 in that one as I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, right, good, great teams against bad teams here. And I think that for the Atlanta Braves, you're going to get all 9 at-bats here if they do, in fact, are able to get this game in. But, I mean, it's just going to be tough sledding for Chris Flexen. Last year, he just, you know, he wasn't very good. He had 16 starts last season between the Rockies and the Seattle Mariners, 2-8 with a 6.86 ERA.
Gross.
Now you're going up against, the Atlanta Braves are, you know, one of the deepest lineups, and if not one of the best lineups in the entire MLB. So, I mean, yeah, I agree with you about the over 9. Would be shocked if Atlanta Braves got all 9-10 runs in this game. No, we wouldn't. But I think I just got to go with the run line here, -1.5, -130. That even if Uncle Charlie Morton, he does give up a few runs here, I still think this Atlanta offense is going to be able to take advantage of not only Chris Flexen, but also the bullpen for the Chicago White Sox here. So I'm all over the Braves here, -1.5. I love your call on the over here as well. Next game on the schedule, let's go to the other Chicago team. We've got the Chicago. They are hosting the Colorado Rockies, 2:20 Eastern start. We've got Dakota Hudson starting here for the Colorado Rockies and Shota Imanaga. I've heard them pronounced
sure,
both ways.
Sure, there we go. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, so I'll try to get that corrected. Right now, no obviously total posted right now because we're waiting for wind direction as we always do for Wrigley Field. Do have lines right now of -218 Cubbies and +180 for the Rockies here. Griffin, what are we thinking about this game between the Cubs and the Rockies?
Well, so let me just say I'm not a fan of Rob Manfred. If anyone was confused, I'll at least put that out there. But I don't know what scheduling office is putting two Chicago teams, because most of the time I feel like big cities, they don't play the two teams in town at the same time. They usually alternate. At least when I used to live in New York City, that was always that way with the Mets and the Yankees. And also on April 1st, two home openers, or I guess the White Sox have been home for the Tigers, but that doesn't make anything better. Feels really insane to me, but and could see two rainouts literally 50 miles from each other, or probably less. So that's going to be bizarre. But as for this matchup, I mean, Dakota Hudson has been really good at keeping the ball in the ballpark. That certainly helps at Wrigley, but maybe not as impactful on a cold 40s degree type of day, 45, I think I saw the high. I don't have a ton on Imanaga yet. I would love to learn a little bit more about him, but I do feel like some of these Japanese pitchers that are coming into league might be graded kind of similarly. And we've seen the Dodgers Japanese import struggle a lot. And so I'm waiting to see what I really can from Chicago. I did notice that the Cubs version of Chicago got a lot of respect in Arlington against the Rangers this weekend and avoided the sweep with a win today on Sunday. But I'm wondering what that kind of – I look for a little bit of an indication from the MLB market to know who the market thinks good, or at least is better than I thought they were or they were last season. And I feel like there's a pretty big change of face on the Chicago Cubs this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I want a wait-and-see approach here for Imanaga and see how he does, because you mentioned, right, we saw Yamamoto in his first start. Yep. I'm not going to understand it was in Korea, in Seoul, South Korea, but I mean, he was half decent in the second start in Dodger Stadium the other night for the Dodgers. So I just want to see what I can get out of, Imanaga here and the Cubbies. I mean, again, there's a reason why I faded that for the Rockies, right? We talked about this, that you want to fade them when they're on the road and then, take a look at them at a nice plus price when they are at Coors Field here. So I'll lean here with the Cubs. I mean, it's a north of a -200 price. At that point, I really do like looking at the run lines. You'll probably get a nice plus price on that. But I think this is going to be a wait-and-see approach for me for see how Imanaga does for the Cubbies in his first start. Getting over to the next game here, Griffin, we got the battle of left-handed pitching. We got the Pittsburgh Pirates that will start Marco Gonzalez against the Washington Nationals. Mackenzie Gore's on the mound here for the Nationals. Nationals are a -120 home favorite, even money on the money line for the Pirates. 8.5 is the total. -1.5, +160 for the Pirates, and +1.5, -192 for the Nationals here. I'll leave this one off here, okay, Griffin. Anytime I usually see the Pittsburgh Pirates going up against left-handed pitching, I want to back the opposing team. And that's going to be the case here with the Nationals. And I learned my lesson the hard way. I did think I mentioned this in the first pod that you and I did, that I did take the Marlins full game with Jesus Luzardo on the mound and to get burned by the bullpen that came back against the Marlins when they were up 5-2. So I'm interested in a Mackenzie Gore strikeouts prop in this game here as well, Griffin. I'll be looking at that. He had a really good start last year against his Pirates team, and if I can pull up those numbers here. But it will be first five innings here for me for that Washington Nationals here. Griffin, what are you thinking about this matchup?
Interesting choice by you, especially considering how Pittsburgh, used that comeback victory to then win all the games in Miami this weekend as well. Impressed by that, but we'll see if that was just one of those four-game stretches or three-game stretches to start a season that we might never think of later in the year. But I feel like there's some hype around Pittsburgh potentially improving. Marco Gonzalez, I feel like, is a journey. Premium pitcher, but usually a pretty decent, I think he's a Gonzaga Bulldog, but I was going to say a Bulldog anyway, Just a tough guy that kind of hangs in games. Washington was really good at avoiding strikeouts last year. He's not a big strikeout guy, so I almost feel like that plays a little bit into Pittsburgh's hands. My questions are really around Mackenzie Gore. He had such big hype surrounding him. Probably could never live up to those expectations in San Diego. Got traded to Washington in the Soto deal and I guess got a refresh, restart. I don't know that he was like necessarily on the fantasy baseball radar last season, but I was certainly looking, sniffing around, thinking like maybe this is going to be his year coming up. Still, of course, want to see it before I believe it. And I got to say, anytime I see the Washington Nationals favored, I'm very interested in being the other team. With that said, I think there's also some questions about whether this game will get in. The weather looks a little bit better, but a lot of rain in the morning. Hopefully that all clears. But I think at this point, concerned about Pittsburgh against a lefty for sure. But I think seeing even money right now on the road team, it has my interest coming off a big series win.
Yeah, Mackenzie Gore last year, he was really good at home at Nationals. I mean, he only had a 2-4 record and 12 starts, but a 3.84 ERA compared to 4.87 on the road here. So I'll be curious to see that again, if the Pirates are able to cure where they have struggled against left-handed pitching. And like you mentioned that if Mackenzie Gore coming into this year is able to live up to the hype, because like you mentioned, it just didn't pan out for him with San Diego and then got shipped out in that Juan Soto deal. So I'll definitely be seeing, you know, how Mackenzie Gore does perform in this game for the Washington Nationals. Getting into the nightcap here, the 6:35 Eastern start, we've got the Kansas City Royals. They will be visiting the Baltimore Orioles in this game. Dean Kremer gets a start here for the Baltimore Orioles and Michael Wacha on the mound for the Kansas City Royals. Orioles are a -162 home favorite with a comeback price of +136 for the Royals. Total is set at 8.5 with a little bit of juice towards the under at -115. Run line, -1.5, +130 for the Orioles, and +1.5, -155 for the Kansas City Royals here. Griffin, what are you thinking about this matchup?
Oh, man. Michael Wacha, one of the most difficult pitchers to predict. Beautiful outings when you don't expect him. Gets rocks when you feel like he's in a good situation, I feel. At least that's been my fantasy take on him for a long time. Dean Kremer on the other side, I think, is probably more interesting for me to talk about. Baltimore Orioles starter. I felt like was really good last year, but was also on a really good team. And I don't know that Baltimore is going to be able to live up to very much heightened expectations coming off a AL East division champion. I think 107 wins or something like that last season, big number. Certainly, I almost feel like they should be bigger favorites here, but it is early in the year. And I feel like the market's cautious to give big prices the underdogs. I just don't think Kansas City is really going to compete this year. Kansas City always seems to have like some decent stretches, as most teams do, but I feel like I'm not sure that's an early year type of thing. It just feels like the Orioles are a little bit cheap, though. I'm not really into that laying a -162 of that sort. So I think I'd be more interested in that run line that I know you've been playing in a couple of places, but it's also a little bit difficult to win with run lines when you're essentially giving away an at bat by bottom of the ninth covers for run lines are probably not an easy thing. You need a 2-run shot at the minimum from a tie game. So I think I'll go under 8.5 and just, I guess, have a little bit more belief in a Wacha changeup that's been so good for so long and that Baltimore has a really good pitching staff and they keep Kansas City really quiet.
Wacha was really good last year for the Padres, right? 13-4 with a 3.22 ERA. He did struggle on the road. Like, I think that was his demise last season, where he was 4-1 in 10 games that he started. But he did have a 4.07 ERA. You compared that to his home ERA last season for the Padres, 2.62. So, again, like you mentioned, you just literally took the words out of my mouth. When I saw Michael Wacha pitching, I was like, oh, boy, I'm not sure what I'm going to get here from him. But, I'd be curious to see, again, with the Baltimore Orioles coming off of the loss here on Sunday afternoon, which was against a left-handed pitcher in Reed Detmers. That's an area that they've struggled in. I think that this is a good bounce back spot here for them at home here. It is -162 on the money line. I do like the Orioles in this game here. So I'm on the Orioles here, -162 on the money line. I'll put a little bit on that run line there as well. Currently sitting at +130 on their run line, -1.5. Getting over to the next game here, 6:40 Eastern start. The Cincinnati Reds, they are headed to the city of Brotherly Love to take on the Phillies. Phillies are going to start Christopher Sanchez in this game, and Andrew Abbott gets to start here for the Cincinnati Reds. Phillies are a minus 166 home favorite with a plus 140 money line price on the visiting team. The Reds total is set at 8.5 with juice towards the over at minus 118. Run line -1.5 plus 124 for the Phillies and +1.5 minus 148 for the Cincinnati Reds here. Griffin, what are we thinking about this game between the Reds and the Phillies?
So Andrew Abbott, one of the fascinating stories of last year, I felt coming up, I think from Double A, where they played with like a tackier baseball, and he has really good junk or curveballs, breaking balls, things he throws. A lot of doubters out there were like, oh yeah, he's striking out the world, but that's because he has a special ball, got to the Triple A level. I think they got promoted pretty quickly to the bigs. I don't know if that was as much him as it was more his organization, but he's been there. I don't know that he's a great pitcher in the bandbox type of ballparks like the Great American Small Park. And then also this one's Citizens Bank Park. Not great of for a fly ball pitcher. But he's, I think, constantly quieted doubters. I was a big believer, so I can't believe I'm actually making myself out to be a doubter now. I think my biggest concern really is Philadelphia finally getting some relief of not playing Atlanta, one of the best teams and probably a better one that they look to a lot. Potential for letdown here because they take that series very seriously. But I think my expectation is I'll pick off that 8.5 as I feel like a lot of the rest of the market's in the 9 range, or at least is a very juiced underprice on 9. I think Christopher Sanchez is going to be really good. I'm still waiting to see if he strikes out hitters as much as he did towards the end of last season. Still always seemed to me like a kind of a put the ball on the ground type of guy. And that's a little bit scary in a small ballpark if you're not keeping it on the ground. So I'll go over 8.5 in that one and expect to see some runs, especially even with some good starting pitchers potentially coming in the bullpen.
I took a flyer on Andrew Abbott to be the strikeout leader this upcoming season. I mean, it's 100-1. It's 100-1 for a reason, but nice. Everything that you mentioned, nice. Right? Like, yeah, last season, he came up to the big leagues and he looked really good, right? Left-handed pitching. I mean, he was striking out guys. I think his strikeouts per 9 innings was at a very high number as well. So I think that, yeah, again, there may be an opportunity, but again, it's 101 for a reason. So I took, you know, put a little bit, there's some beer money on it, some, you know, some pizza money on it, nothing too crazy, but I think for Andrew Abbott, I think it's everything that you mentioned, right? Being at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia, where, you know, we can see balls flying over, you know, the outfield fences at a very, you know, high rate. I just think this might be an opportunity right now where I do think the Phillies could take advantage of that. Last year, they were close to top 10 in most offensive statistical categories against left-handed pitching. And I also like what I saw from Christopher Sanchez last year. I know he didn't have a lot of starts last season for the Philadelphia Phillies, but again, being in this rotation where he wasn't able to accumulate a lot of wins, but he did have a 3.4 you're in 18 starts last season for this Philadelphia Phillies team. And again, he came on in relief in last season in the playoffs last year for this team. But I think, again, there's opportunities where he's also going to be a great strike for this team. He had 96 strikeouts last season. And just, let's see here, how many innings did he pitch last year? So, I like the Phillies in this spot here. Maybe a Phillies team total to go over in this game. I think that's a good spot for the Phillies here as well. But yeah, definitely like the Phillies in this game. At minus 166 on the money line. Getting over to the next game, we have a 6:40 Eastern start. The LA Angels, they will be traveling down to South Beach to take on the Miami Marlins. Chase Selseth gets a start here for the Angels, and Max Meyer gets a start here for the Miami Marlins. Marlins are a home favorite here of minus 118, minus 102 on the money line for the Angels. 8.5 is the total right now with a little bit of juice over the open. At minus 118 here, Griffin. What are we thinking about the Angels and the Marlins?
This is a tough one because Miami getting swept at home in their first series. Well, I guess good for them. They get to try again with another team that's now, I guess, going to be two straight series away on the wrong coast for the Angels. That's a really tough type of road trip, especially to start a season. Maybe it's a little better to start the season that way than to do it in July or something like that. But I feel like Max Meyer's got a lot of hype on him, as do most pitchers that come up through a Miami system that seems to just churn out great pitching talent, but not a lot of hitters. Seth, I think, has, as hard as it is to say his name, I think it's harder to hit him. He's got some really great numbers from, I want to say he took a pretty bad bad concussion last year and missed a bunch of time and like had some real struggles getting over that. I think we're now expecting a pretty healthy Silseth at this point. And I like his opportunity to go into Miami and keep a relatively quiet Miami offense quiet. So I think I'll go under 8.5 in that one, not expecting a lot of runs. Certainly if you can get a 9, I think there'd be a lot more value there, but we're playing what we have in front of us. So I'll go under 8.5.
Yeah, I think the one concern for Silseth is going to be, is he going to be able to command his stuff and locate his pitches? Because walks were a concern for him last season when he was pitching for the Angels. But again, from year to year, from 2022 to 2023, saw significant improvement from him for this Angels team. And again, I can't get behind this Marlins team right now. I think they're going to be in those conversations of being a team with one of the worst records. This bullpen is just going to be an absolute disaster for this Miami Marlins team. And again, we mentioned that I did play the under 78.5. So obviously that's off to a great start right now for this.
Yes. Couldn't be better. 100%.
But on the opposite side, I have the Astros over. So yeah, then I'm grasping here a little bit, but yeah, I mean, you mentioned, right? I think that I do have the better pitcher on the mound here. I'm not really too familiar with Max Meyer. I think this is his first start. I didn't pitch a lot last year, if at all, for this Marlins team here. So I'll go with a more experienced pitcher. I think I definitely have the better lineup here with the Angels. So give me the Angels here, -102 on the money line here against the Miami Marlins. Getting over to the next game on the schedule here, we got the Texas Rangers and the Tampa Bay Rays will be a 6:50 Eastern start. Dane Dunning takes the mound here for the Texas Rangers, and Ryan Pepiot gets the start here for the Tampa Bay Rays. Rays are a -120 home favorite, even money on the money line for the Texas Rangers here. 8.5 is the total with juice towards the under at -115 for this total here. Griffin, what are we thinking about this matchup between the Rangers and the Rays?
Well, I got to say, I'm pretty sad. I think I picked the only game, the Rays split 2-2, but I picked one of their two wins, I guess, of the 50% they took at home. I don't know. It just feels to me, maybe I'm biased now of all this Dallas water I've been drinking, but I feel like seeing Texas not getting a lot of respect after winning the World Series. Yes, they had a deep run as a wild card, and you can throw out some of that. Plus, Tampa certainly has been a really good home team for years. But Ryan Pepiot, I think he's a Frenchie. He's from the Dodgers system, I think, was acquired in the Glasnow deal. Great arm, but is in a very new place. And I feel like it's going to be tough to adjust to new hitters. I guess same could be said for the hitters seeing him for relatively first times. But Dane Dunning was great for Texas last year, really kind of filled a lot of voids when they had a bunch of injuries go down, like DeGrom in his first or second start of the season and all that sort of stuff. And I think Dunning was kind of, I don't know if disrespect is the right word, because he ended up finding a role in the bullpen in the playoffs, but I feel like he was one of the most important parts of keeping that Texas thing together for a lot of the season and got them into the playoffs. But I think this is a fairly welcoming price here, seeing even money on Texas right now. It's not a huge number, of course, and it feels like the market's being a little bit cautious with how they're pricing Tampa so far. I feel like they've been pretty relatively conservative home favorites for now a second straight series, at least seeing where this one starts. But I feel like I'm interested in the Texas side, and that's probably where I'll consider and hope to see some money hitting Tampa after Texas took their first loss today.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% about Dunning last year. I mean, he was absolutely fantastic with a 12-7 record, a 3.70 ERA, and a huge strikeout guy. He did have 140 last season in about 35 games he appeared in, and 26 that he did start. But I mean, you take a look at the numbers a little bit last year for him on his home and road splits. A little bit of a head scratcher. I mean, his ERA was outstanding at on the road last year, 3.10 with a 5-5 record. At home, he was 7-2 with a 4.44 ERA, which a lot of that may have to do with the offense that was backing him up being at home last year, right? But I have the better offense here as well. You get all 9 at bats with the Texas Rangers. I think Dunning can go on perfectly well in this game against the Tampa Bay Rays here. So at this even money price at +100 right now for the Texas Rangers, I'm with you on that for sure here. So give me the Rangers here at even money for this game against the Rays. Next game on the schedule is going to be a 7:10 Eastern start. We got the Detroit Tigers. They are ahead of Citi Field to take on the Mets. Reese Olson gets the start here for the Tigers, and it will be Sean Manaea getting the start here for the New York Mets. Mets are a minus 130 home favorite here, plus 110 on the money line for the Detroit Tigers. Total is set at 8 with a little bit of juice towards the at minus 115 here. Minus 1.5, plus 164 for the Mets, and plus 1.5, minus 198 on the run lines here for these teams here. Griffin, what are we going with this game with the Tigers and the Mets?
Oh, man. I mean, amazing difference in spending capabilities, spending payroll, those sort of things. And one team's got a zero in the loss column, and one has them in the win column. Surprisingly, it's the Mets that are yet to win. The Tigers are fresh off a sweep. Now they go on the road, back-to-back road series. Not the greatest scenario, but Sean Manaea, I mean, he's been, to me, a really great pitcher that's kind of struggled in the change in time. So he's never really been a big strikeout guy, and he's been trying to become one. Left-handed pitcher that was throwing a lot harder than most lefties did when he came up through the minor leagues into the bigs. And I don't know necessarily if this Detroit lineup is one that I like enough to want to back here against a team that's got a much bigger payroll, that generally plays a lot better at home and has a huge fan base and all that sort of stuff. But I do feel like they're off to a great start. You can't argue with the momentum right now going only up for Detroit and only down for New York. So I think I'm most interested in Detroit. Reese Olson was really great at striking people out last year from what I remember. That's always going to play in baseball, and I think it's only going to become more and more important as we get further and further down the risk curve of you just try to hit a home run every swing, and that's all that matters. I think Sean Manaea is unfortunately kind of like really open to that type of scenario where he a lot of contact in the games he's pitching in. So give me the Tigers. I like the plus 110. Have a little bit of interest in over there as well, but I think the Tigers are my side here.
Yeah, I don't trust this Mets team at all. I mean, these two teams struggled offensively in this opening weekend, right? The Tigers only scored 11 runs in their game, but the pitching was absolutely outstanding, where they only allowed 8 runs in their first three games here. You take a look at the New York Mets, they scored 8 runs and gave up 14. So again, it seems like these offensive struggles are continuing for this New York Mets team with all the talent that they do have in their lineup here. So if this number was at 8.5, I'd like the under here. I think this market, the market has prices correctly on the total here. But I definitely do like the plus price here for the Detroit Tigers. Tigers are another team that I'm very high on coming into the season. Not only on their win total, but also them to possibly win this division in the AL Central. So great start for them thus far. I know they also against the White Sox, but again, for this Mets team, I just do not trust them. I can't trust them with my money. So at the plus price here with Reese Olson, I think I do have the better pitcher on the mound here. Give me the plus 110. I'm right there with you here, Griffin, on this game between the Tigers and the Mets. Griffin, before we get over to the next game here, a lot of great things happening right now on pregame.com. Obviously, March Madness, we are down to the Final Four. Believe it or not, NFL win totals are starting to pop up. NBA season is winding down. NBA playoffs right on the corner. Same thing with NHL. Exciting times right now for all sports, and obviously with MLB tipping off here as well this past weekend. A lot of sports going on here, but let our listeners know, what can they take advantage of right now on pregame.com?
Yeah, throw in the promo code opening25, good for $25 off anything on the site. Could be season-long packages. I got baseball ones out there. I got soccer 90 days, soccer rest of year, soccer as long as you want it. Anything you want that's out there. Of course, March Madness, as Munaf mentioned, is wrapping up pretty soon, but there are packages available for that. There are weekenders, all those sort of things out there, and you save a real $25 just by using the promo code opening25. A little inside baseball here. It makes us look good when you use it. It makes us have the ability to make these podcasts for you. So make sure if you're listening, go save some money. You're probably listening to us to try to invest on the site anyway. Might as well take advantage of free $25. Throw that in there, opening 25. You don't have to say that Munaf or myself sent you. Just throw that in the box, save $25. It's worth it for all of us involved.
100%. There we go. Make sure you use that promo code opening 25. $25 off of anything. Over on pregame.com. Let's keep it rolling here, Griffin. Oh, this is going to get interesting. 8:10 Eastern start. battle of fandom teams here for the both of us. The Toronto Blue Jays, they are in Houston to take on the winless Astros. Bowden Francis gets a start here for the Blue Jays, and Ronel Blanco gets a start here for the Houston Astros. Astros, a minus 142 home favorite, plus 120 on the money line here for the Toronto Blue Jays. Total is set at 9. Run line, -1.5, +142 for the Houston Astros, and +1.5, -170 for the Toronto Blue Jays here. I'll let you leave this one off here because you may like the side I may be on here, Griffin. What are you thinking?
Oh, interesting. Well, one of my good friends from Toronto will be very, very happy that he got me a Toronto Blue Jays jersey, and I happened to wear it in the first episode. Because I guess if I have to play the fan card for the Blue Jays, then I guess I can do it. However, I'm in a fantasy baseball league with a bunch of Canadians, and my team name is Blame Canada. So I don't know that I'm very popular north of the border at this point. But with that said, Bowden Francis, I don't have a ton on him. Books, I think, still out, which is, I think, sometimes telling because hitters haven't seen him a lot, and that's a good thing. From a Ronel Blanco side for the Astros, I feel like he was pretty good in limited action as well. Younger pitcher as well, not exactly the top names on either of these rotations. But we have two teams. One that I think if you offered the Jays a 2-2 road split at Tampa to open the season, I think you probably take that and happily. The Astros, of course, starting with four straight losses to the Yankees in some heartbreaking fashion. Not really a good way to start. And they say that streaks go on forever and they only end once. So for that reason, I think I'm most interested in the away team. Surprise, surprise. That 120 I like on Toronto, I feel like there's a good chance you can play that. If they don't win on Monday, you play it Tuesday and hopefully you split.
Yeah. Again, I can't trust this Astros team right now, especially at home. That's crazy to say. But we talked about it, right? They had struggles last season at Minute Maid Park. That's obviously continued here, dropping the first four at home against the Yankees. I just don't know what it is. But I can't just trust this team right now. As soon as they hit the road, you know, that's going to be time for us to get our money back with this Astros team because the first two games, I've been on the Astros. And, you know, like we mentioned it, they haven't won a single game yet. So, and Francis was really good last season, the limited time that he did appear for this Blue Jays team, right? I mean, 36 and a third innings pitched last year, only allowed 7 earned runs, 35 strikeouts to 8 walks last year for him. So again, now he's going to be starting in this rotation here for this Blue Jays team. And I think that's the only way that I can look for this Blue Jays team. Again, I have no interest right now in the Astros, especially as their struggles continue at home here. So both of us here on the Blue Jays plus 120 against the Houston Astros. Headed over to the West Coast. We have a 9:40 Eastern start between the New York Yankees and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Lewis Gill gets a start here for the Yankees. Ryan Nelson gets a start here for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Yankees, a road favorite here of minus 125 on the money line, plus 105 as the home dog for the Diamondbacks. Total is set at 10 in this game. Run line -1.5, +124 for the Yankees, and +1.5, -148 for the Arizona Diamondbacks here. Griffin, what do you think about this game?
So I'm allergic to road favorites. I'll put it that way. If you've listened to any of my podcasts with pregame.com, you probably have heard it. Apologies for repeating myself, but thank you for listening and continuing to deal with this face for radio. But I think from I mean, there's a lot to talk about with this one. Of course, the Yankees with that awesome four-game sweep. Do they potentially cool off a little bit or have a little bit more trouble with the second straight road series? From an Arizona perspective, Ryan Nelson was one of their bigger prospects, but doesn't miss bats very well from what I can recall. And that's a scary thing. It's a Yankee team that seems pretty confident and seem pretty dynamic at this point in the season. I think Luis Gil is a good pitcher, but has some longevity questions or how deep he can get in games. And I think anyone in, I guess it'll be the first day of April when this card and when this this game first pitch is thrown. I just don't know necessarily what to believe about bullpens at this point. The way that the price is listed, we're expecting 9 full at bats for both teams. So give me over 10. I feel like there's a good chance that Arizona is going to come back, revert to the mean after that great playoff run last year, which literally was like mind-boggling. And I think it's a very good possibility that Arizona does not live up to those World Series type of hypes.
Nelson was a pitcher last year that if you paid attention to his numbers, it was a guy that you wanted to fade at home. and was a pitcher that you wanted to back on the road. Take a look at his splits last year, 6-3 with a 3.46 ERA. Road last year, 88 1/3 innings pitch. He allowed only 34 earned runs. Look at the opposite side at home, 2-5 with an 8.25 ERA, 55 2/3 innings pitched. He gave up 17 more earned runs in about 33 less innings pitched at home last year. And again, we know Chase Field with the big outfield, you know, where singles turn into doubles, doubles turn into triples. And now you have this Yankees lineup that's coming in that I think they're going to carry the momentum into this game here. And I have the same exact pick as you do. In this game here, Griffin, over 10 is what I'm looking at here. Again, we know what the Diamondbacks offense can do. When healthy, this Yankees team is a very explosive offense. And we talked about Juan Soto offline, how much he's paid dividends already in the first four games for this Yankees team. So I think that if you want to look at a Yankees team total over or full game over, like Griffin mentioned, I do love that look here for the for this game between the Arizona Diamondbacks hosting the New York Yankees. Getting over to the next game here, 9:40 Eastern start. We've got the Boston Red Sox. They traveled from Seattle down to Oakland to take on the A's. Tanner Houck gets a start here for the Boston Red Sox, and Joe Boyle gets a start here for the Oakland A's. -142 as the road favorite here for the Red Sox, +120 on the money line for the Oakland A's. Total is set at 8. A little bit of juice towards the over at -112. Run line, -1.5, +120 for the Red Sox, +1.5, -142 for the Oakland A's here. Griffin, I know you said that you don't like taking road favorites here, but you get any interest on the Oakland A's here?
I don't know how to. I mean, Tanner Houck makes me nervous, I'll say, is that big of a price. But I do feel like we are seeing Oakland prices that are not going to be the same later in the year. I imagine this is the only trip Boston is making out to whatever we're calling the park in Oakland now. But I think, and there's some hype on Boyle as a starting pitcher for Oakland. I don't know exactly what he's going to deliver, and it's just hard to have any sort of confidence in really what you're expecting from a team that isn't trying to go anywhere except to another city first, I guess, to start play next season. So I think that limits me a little bit more to a total here. And in that ballpark with so much foul territory, a marine layer that makes it really hard to get the ball out. And I think a Boston lineup that's just not really going to deliver up to the Boston lineups of past. I'll go under 8 as my best bet for this game.
Yeah, I think that, again, if you take a look at this Oakland A's lineup, and again, just not very good, right? I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. They're going to be one of the worst teams. I mean, we know that, right? But I mean, you took a look at their first three games, 8-0, 6-4, 12-3. And we talked about it. The time you want to back this Oakland A's team is when you have Paul Blackburn on the mound. And lo and behold, 7 shutout innings today for Oakland. For Paul Blackburn. And the Oakland A's held on and got the 4-3 victory. So I think the part that does make me nervous about the under is that I just don't trust his Oakland A's bullpen either. Because we saw it all throughout the series against the Cleveland Guardians, and even today where 7 innings, no earned runs given up by Paul Blackburn.
Won. Yeah.
And they still barely won 4-3. It took a walk off from Abraham Toro for them to get their first victory of the season here. And again, the Red Sox were competitive against Seattle, right? I want to say they split the 4-game set there against the Seattle Mariners. They did get the victory on Sunday afternoon, and they they pitched very well. And I think that there's an opportunity for the Red Sox to, you know, get the victory here again as well. So I'm comfortable laying the juice here on the Red Sox here, -142 right now. I got the under there as well. If you want to look at maybe first 5 under in this game, I don't hate that. Again, I'm just gonna avoid the bullpens and take it out of it for the Oakland A's. So first 5 under would be a good look in this game here as well. 9:40 Eastern start. The St. Louis Cardinals, fresh off of blowing a lead on Sunday Night Baseball, they are headed to San Diego to take on the Padres. Kyle Gibson gets a start here for the St. Louis Cardinals, and Matt Waldron gets a start here for the San Diego Padres. Padres are a slight home underdog in this game at -105, -115 for the St. Louis Cardinals. Total is set at 8 with a little bit of juice towards the -118. Run line, -1.5, +160 for the Cardinals, and +1.5, -192 for the San Diego Padres here. Griffin, what do you think about this game between the Cardinals and the Padres?
Whew. So Matt Waldron was definitely someone I was trying to bet against a lot of last year. Want to say he throws a knuckleball, not like exclusively rest in peace Tim Wakefield style or Steve Sparks style, I guess, if we're even going back even further. I think Steve Sparks does radio for the Astros. I hope I'm not dating myself, but I guess I already did. So whatever, it's happened. I do feel like this is a really great spot though for San Diego. St. Louis's bullpen was already kind of running on fumes. And then blew tonight's game, as you mentioned, pretty big lead, I think up 3-0 and then lost 4-3 if I'm not mistaken, but whatever it was, they had a lead 5-4. So I think it was a 4-0 lead and gave up 5 unanswered. So not great. Probably shouldn't hang anything to Matt Muncy, because literally all he's trying, or Max Muncy, literally all he's trying. I probably shouldn't call him Matt Muncy. He'll probably get very upset at me, former Baylor Bear. But I think he's one of those guys you don't lay anything in there to. There's so many good things about the Dodgers that I feel like it puts a lot of pressure on their opponents. And anyone that's going to go in and into Chavez Ravine specifically and then have to go on the road to the next series, it's just really a lot stacked up against a team like the Cardinals, who I think are still trying to figure out who exactly they are after a pretty disappointing season last season. Defense is horrible, and they're trying to improve that, but usually that means sacrifices in hitting. Kyle Gibson's not a big strikeout guy. He's in the Michael Wacha camp of great outings when you wouldn't expect it and poor ones when you would expect a good one. So I don't really know what to take from him. I do feel like home field matters. I went to Petco a couple years ago for an entire Dodgers Padres series, and that was LIT lit. It was awesome. And I feel like San Diego, while they haven't reached those heights, they're still really into that's the only sports team they have in the jurisdiction. So I expect there to be a really great crowd support for San Diego. They love Fernando Tatis, and actually I think they like Ha-Sung Kim even more. So give me those San Diego Padres at slight -105 at home.
It's also tough going from Sunday night baseball. I know it's not a huge trip going from LA to San Diego, but I mean, you're that last game of the night, you're getting out late from play and being the last game there and having to travel to San Diego. But I think there's a good spot
that,
here.
That hour and a half trip with traffic, you never know. Might not even get there by game time tomorrow.
So I'm with you here on the Padres here, -105. Maybe I'm interested in a Padres team total to go over in this game here as well. Kyle Gibson, again, like you mentioned, it's hit or miss, right? And I think that last year, getting all the wins at 14-9, but he did have an ERA of 4.73, which is pretty consistent. He was at home or whether he was on the road last year. And again, he got off to a slow start in the month of March last year as well. And that carried into his first couple starts before he did level off in the month of or latter part of April and then May. And they just kind of fell off after that last season. So I say all that to take the Padres here -105. I think that's a good cheap price here. Just kind of fading this coming off of Sunday night baseball. Next game on the board, another 9:40 Eastern start. We got the Cleveland Guardians. They are in Seattle to take on the Mariners. Tristan McKenzie start here for the Guardians, and Emerson Hancock gets to start here for the Seattle Mariners. Mariners also a -105 home underdog in this game. Guardians -115 on the money line. Total is set at A with juice towards the under at -115. Run line -1.5 +150 for the Guardians and +1.5 -180 for the Mariners here. We talked about the Guardians. They obviously came off the series against the A's, winning 3 out of 4. Mariners split with the Red Sox 2 games apiece, but they score off here in Seattle here. Griffin, what do you think about this game?
So bear with me on this one, because I feel like I might be going against myself a little bit in how I talk about it. So I love unders in Seattle. I think it's a really hard park to hit the ball out of, and I really like Tristan McKenzie. He's got some of the best swing and miss stuff. We just haven't seen it. And he's been hurt so much over the last few seasons. He's like one of those guys I take every year in fantasy, and I just stick him on my IL spot, and I hope he's going to come back. And then he does, and he pitches twice, and then goes right back on there, or I just cut him and give up because I'm like, what am I doing myself? Like, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Fool me 15 times. I don't know what to say about myself anymore. Emerson Hancock, meanwhile, for Seattle, he's filling in, I think, as an injury replacement. He's one of their bigger pitching prospects, but I'm not sure he's perfectly seasoned for Major League Baseball just yet. Don't really have a lot of high expectations for a Cleveland lineup either. Same can be said for Seattle. It does worry me a lot, but I feel like the total kind of fits. 8 is probably pretty standard for a Seattle Mariners night game. And I feel like the weather doesn't really impact as much here now in April as it does really in July, August, when it's surprisingly cold in Seattle at night. And they do have that marine layer. So give me over 8. I think it's just really betting against the inconsistency, or betting on inconsistency is probably a better way to put it, of both these starting pitchers.
Yeah, I think I had 3 starts last year in the month of August for the Mariners. You know, one was a great start, 5 innings. He only allowed 1 earned run, 2 hits, 3 strikeouts. Got hit a little bit against the Kansas City Royals in 5 innings, allowed 5 earned runs, 9 hits. And then against the Astros, did have 1 start in 2 innings. It was a shutout baseball, 2 hits. He only allowed 2 strikeouts. So, and like you mentioned, right, I just want to see what they can get more out of him. And maybe starts again in this start here and going forward for Hancock for the Mariners. And like we talked about, I think Tristan McKenzie, I mean, there's supposed to talk last year about people betting him for Cy Young last year. And again, just didn't, obviously not a great season last year for him, you know, dealing with injuries and all that hoopla. But he was 0-3 last year with a 5.06 ERA. So I think there must be a spot here to fade the Guardians coming off that the series against the A's here. I like the -105 price here for the Seattle Mariners. Don't hate your overcall here again. Traditionally, like you mentioned, two teams that trend towards the under, especially in Seattle as well. But I think they could maybe sneakily get over here. And again, I think Mariners could probably do the bulk of that scoring there going up against Tristan McKenzie here. So -105 for me on the Mariners. Last game of the night, we have a 10-10 Eastern star, the San Francisco Giants. They are in LA to take on the Dodgers. Dodgers are going to be starting James Paxton in this game. And I am seeing Kenton Wynn getting started here for the San Francisco Giants. Dodgers a -230 home favorite here, +190 on the money line for the Giants. 8 is the total with juice towards the over at -115. Run line -1.5, -105 for the Dodgers, +1.5, -115 for the Giants here. Oh, a world where James Paxton is laying -230 here, Griffin. But what are you thinking about this game?
I didn't know. So I didn't, being this is our second podcast together, I feel like we've been super simpatico on a lot of our thoughts so far, which is great, but also potentially dangerous. We're just going to encourage each other to just bet the whole card, I feel like. But whenever you see the big maple, I was going to start with San Francisco, but when you ever see the big maple laying -230, you're starting to think, oh my gosh, he is literally made of glass. Ever since that, the Canadian had an American bald eagle land on his shoulder or something like that in Seattle. I feel like it's been all downhill, some ups, but a lot of downs for James Paxton. Big guy, big lefty, throws hard. If there's anyone that can harness that, maybe it's the Dodgers with basically all the best minds from the Tampa Bay Rays now with huge payrolls in Los Angeles. I think it's a great setup. Gigantic favorite. I think I'm mostly interested in over 8 here because I think Paxton is not really trustworthy. I think that goes without saying. But then also, when you see a guy and he shows up on a probable pitcher report, and I feel like I know baseball pretty well, and I don't even know the guy's first name. So Kenton Wynn, I think he's going to have a really tough time with the Dodgers lineup that I think to be pretty disappointed with having to come back. It's like a shock to their egos that they had to really battle back to salvage a series victory against the St. Louis Cardinals, because I think they lost Saturday night as well. So I think we see a motivated Dodgers here. That's a scary Dodgers, especially for a big rivalry series as well. Hopefully no beatings in the parking lot, but you never know with, I guess, the parking lot outside Chavez Ravine. But I'll go over 8 because I feel like that's a tiny number for this type of matchup.
The last start Wynn had against the Dodgers was the last game that he actually pitched in, coincidentally. 5 1/3 inning, allowed 6 hits, 6 earned runs, and 3 home runs in that game he gave up. And now you have to go up against 3 former MVPs at the top of the lineup in Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman. So I think this is an opportunity where if you look at the first 5 over, if you want to look at if your book offers it, a Dodgers first 5 team total over. I mean, we'll be surprised, Griffin, if we saw the Dodgers get 6-7 runs here, and then Paxton also gave up a couple here as well. Would not be shocked. But yeah, I think that the way to go here. I'm not laying the -230 price here with James Paxton. But again, the offense could definitely carry him. But I think you made the right call, and the great call here is to take the over 8 right now for this game between the Giants and the Dodgers. That is the last game on the Monday night card here for the MLB. A lot of great just here, but Griffin, let's wrap it up here, my friend, with our best bets. Like we mentioned, no skins off our back on our first episode. We did go 1-1 here, but hopefully we can get the week started right by hopefully going 2-0 here. You want to lead us off with your best bet?
I'm happy to do so. And also, this is a pretty good Monday card, I got to say. A lot of times Monday is the travel day for a lot of these series. So I guess early in the year, I'm glad they're filling our horn with oil, as I think I used to hear on SportsCenter all the time, because get ready, there might be some lean episodes on Mondays. We might have to think of some new things to do. Of course, we'll give you best bets, but we'll come up with some sort of strategy, maybe mapping out some series prices or something like that, which might be coming up later in the future weeks when we're doing this pod. But thank you for all the support. Make sure you use opening 25 to save your $25 on any purchases at pregame. I don't know if we have merch. I feel like I need to get AJ to send me some merch so I can wear it on one of these episodes. But anyway, use opening 25. Throw that in there. Give us some credit. For my best bet, long way to get into this, I guess, but I'll go with those Detroit Tigers. Reese Olson, a plus 110 underdog right now as we're recording. I think this, as I said earlier, streaks last forever and only end once, and they're both going in the directions I want them to go. Detroit's been winning. Got to be confident. Young team that I feel like it's going to break out. He's got some really great young bats. I think Spencer Torkelson is going to kill the ball this year. And I think Stroman Aya fits his fastball riding sinker fits right into that swing path. And I feel like the Mets, you know, they've got a lot of pressure on them from this owner that's not quiet about wanting to win every day. I like his drive, his attitude, but I also feel like it drives the market to bet the Mets too much. So give me the Tigers plus 110.
All right. Love that. Again, that's music to my ears because, again, one of my bigger bets this season is the Detroit Tigers win total to go over at 78.5. So hopefully they can continue that here on Monday in Citi Field against the Mets. My best bet, couple of bets that I do like here. I think it might just be that last game that we just talked about. I think this number is a little conservative on this total here. Giants and Dodgers, let's go over 8 at minus 115, currently over on DraftKings. Talking about at volumes, both of these pitchers. Win last year, like we mentioned, did not have a great start against the Dodgers, but overall, this wasn't very good for this Giants rotation. And James Paxton resume speaks for itself. You know, Griffin, you mentioned the fall off he's had ever since he left the Seattle Mariners. And I think he's going to be another player and a pitcher that's going to be a journeyman, you know, throughout his career. But again, for this Dodgers lineup, going up against Wynn, I think the Giants can also, you know, get a couple runs off of the James Paxton there as well. So I wouldn't be surprised again if this does cross over 10 runs in this game. But right now, over at DraftKings, you can get this at 8 at minus 115. So I'll go with the total as my best bet. Giants, Dodgers over 8 on the last day, game of the night here. So I'll be staying up and getting a sweat here. Yeah, hopefully it's
might be able to go to bed early when it cashes in the third inning, you know.
That's what I was just gonna mention. Hopefully this one gets us over the line sooner rather than later here. But again, yeah, do love our picks here. Hopefully it is a 2-0 card here for us on Monday to start the full week of baseball after opening weekend in MLB. That is going to wrap it up here for the MLB podcast on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. Griffin, anything else we want to mention to our listeners before we go our separate ways?
Nope. Just throw in that opening 25 and we'll see you all Thursday night for a Friday episode, getting ready to win some money as I'll be heading to the desert for the Final Four next weekend, but still plenty of baseball on our minds and in our eyeballs until that all starts.
Yep, 100%. Down to the Final Four teams and college basketball. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be an exciting week, obviously, with baseball as well. All right, we will talk to you guys on Thursday night / Friday morning, so look out for us then. Make sure to follow Griffin over on X or Twitter, whatever you call it, at @TheReal_GWarner. You can follow me there as well, at SportsNerd824. Good luck with your bets this week. Let's break these books off, and we'll talk to you guys down the road. We'll